In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your Christian friend, when I read the appointed epistle for today, in search of a verse or two which I might use for sermonic comment, I came to the last verse of the epistle, and four words in that verse immediately arrested my attention. Three of these words were nouns. One was that linguistic phenomenon of the Greek language known as the articular infinitive, in fact, a noun. The four words were hope, joy, peace, believing. The arresting power of those four words took me back in time quite a few years to when I taught American literature to juniors in Elysian High School. One of the essays which I used to use in that class was one entitled Words That Laugh and Cry. And I thought that these words of the text might indeed fall into that category created by the 19th century newspaper editor and owner. Words That Laugh and Cry. The essayist tried to examine why individual words at times seem to stand out and have a mysterious power as they're strung together on a page. Those words, he calls, words that last and stand. If the four words of the text which I have chosen for today fall into any kind of category, they might fall into that kind of category. Hope, joy, peace, believing. What is there about those four words which makes them jump off the page, as it were, when a Christian reads these words of prayer? It seems to me that these words have such an arresting power because they gather together so succinctly some of the most comprehensive truths which Holy Scripture presents to us in Christ Jesus, our Savior. And so, in a sense, then, they are words that would fall into a general kind of category called words that laugh and cry. Hope. Hope springs eternal in the human breast. Man never is, always to be, blessed, wrote the man of letters Alexander Pope. People are always building hope, and they struggle hard to keep their hope. But the power of hope not infrequently trembles. And the plans that we have made don't always materialize. And those things that seem so promising become disappointing. And we realize that some of our hopes were only idle dreams because we cannot bring them to fruition. But the text does not speak of that kind of hope. For the Apostle Paul calls our attention to the God of hope. Our hopes sometimes fail because we do not have control of our lives, nor of destiny, nor the events of this life. But the God of hope indeed has all things at his command. And when he provides us with the substance of hope, we are not holding a fear from which the hope may trickle away. God made clear too in what he has given us the greatest hope, for his Son became man, and that Son of God and Son of Man shed his blood that we might have an eternal hope. And therefore, with the hymn writer, we sing, my hope is built on nothing else than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hope, the powerful word, when God gives it the substance. Joy. A hymn writer once said, where is joy to be found? And then he answered, where but on heavenly ground? It's only there that we can find true joy and lasting joy. People search often for joy. Sometimes they try to find it in harmful and disgraceful activities or in the abuse of various kinds of substances. But all too frequently, the joy sought there turn out to be sorrow and tragedy. the Lord does give us some joyous truth in his gracious hand. Things appear to you, and indeed enjoy in this life. But the present associations which we have and the enjoyments which we have, which God himself has given us for our temporal lives, we recognize too our sins while our fading and sleeping. For we too pass away with those joys, and they do not last for us, they are meant only for this life. Centuries ago, there were some wise men who went searching for joy. They stopped in the city of Jerusalem to inquire, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And they found out. And then when they went on their way, they saw the star and they rejoiced, the scripture says, with exceeding great joy. And they went to find him who had come from heaven and who would go back again to heaven, the Savior of the world. There is true joy. That's the heavenly ground upon which joy can be found. Joy, when God gives it to such things, it makes it one. It's the word that is. Peace. That Christ whom the wise men found, a number of years later, many years later in fact, passed through last doors to speak to some growing but fairly frightened men. And what was the word which the risen Christ spoke to those disciples on the day of the Lord's resurrection? Peace be unto you. There is another one of those words that makes us smile with contentment. Peace. What kind of peace do we have? Oh, when everything is torn asunder, then we look for the peace that last. What is the peace? Well, before we get at the peace, perhaps we have to look at another word that has a powerful meaning not included in our text. And that's the word sin that makes a tear come to the eye. There was a sinful woman who was a tear. Yet Jesus peace. He understood sin. There was an apostle who denied his Lord and went out and yet wept bitterly. But to those who understand sin, there comes the word of peace when they have repented and turned to the Christ. For God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Go in peace, your sins are forgiven. There we have the peace that passes all understanding. That is the peace that lasts to all eternity. And even when things stumble and fall away from us, this peace does not fall away. For it again has been given to us in the God of hope and the God of peace, who himself can put conscience into words. And have a rest here upon this earth, and the remainers also a rest for the people of God. This is peace. A smile of contentment can go to our troubled hearts when we hear this word of peace. Joy, hope, peace. How are we convinced that these things are ours? Not by ourselves. No logical arguments or truth will convince us. For no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. But note what Paul says in our text with respect to the Holy Spirit. Now the God of hope fill you, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord himself gives us the power which will convince us of the truth of what the Lord has placed in these words, hope and joy and peace. And so we have believing. The Holy Spirit indeed is the one who brings us to faith in Christ the Savior and Redeemer. Do you remember a distraught jailer at Philippi? What did he say? What can I do to be saved? And the apostles answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man was baptized in his house. Through word and sacrament, the Holy Spirit works to give us the conviction to trust in our Lord. Remember too that our Lord once said to Nicodemus at night, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that Nicodemus too later pleaded the cause of Jesus and brought perfume too to honor his Lord at the time of the Lord. Yes, the Holy Spirit works mightily, so that we lay hold of these words, hope and joy and peace. We are on the penultimate day of the summer session. We've worked hard, perhaps. Maybe we've been involved in academic matters so frequently that we've lost sight of the bottom line. We're ready to take leave of one another, at least temporarily, and permanently. We've also learned of tragedy to our community. And what do we say to one another when all of these things come upon us? And when we take leave of one another to go our individual ways, we could say no better word than to use these words that Latin star from the Apostle Paul. May the God of hope fill you with all hope, joy, and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit.